Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Today, we're talking about Vanderpump Rules Reunion Part 2. We're also going to be covering Real Housewives of Potomac, Candace Got Married, plus Southern Charm premiered this week.
And then we'll be talking about Summer House. And then we have interviews with Ariana Maddox from Vanderpump Rules and Karen Huger from Real Housewives of Potomac, plus Rose and Thorne.
We also just wanted to say our hearts go out to Marisol Patton from The Real Housewives of Miami. Her mom, Elsa Patton, passed away over Mother's Day weekend. She was 84.
Mama Elsa.
I know. She's a star.
Okay, Vanderpump Rules Reunion Part 2. I personally felt like it did not disappoint.
I was going to say I almost feel like it did not deliver as much as Part 1.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. And I feel like maybe it's only because, you know, we've talked about so many of the things that they've covered on this episode so much on the podcast already, but I still think we should get into it because there was, again, a lot of drama, some more walk-offs, people like taking more breaks because there was just so much going on. So
yeah,
we should get into it.
Sandoval, like, I do not understand why he is so in James's corner when James is saying vile things to everyone.
I know. And I feel like it's part of Sandoval's character to kind of be the one to defend. I don't want to say the defenseless because James says horrible things and acts out and says things that are unforgivable. But I think Sandoval feels like if no one else is going to be in James's corner on that whole panel in a room full of people who are against him, I think it's just part of his nature to come to James's defense and try to put it into perspective for everyone else, like what James is going through. But is it at the expense of his, you know, friendship with Jax? Like, everyone is sort of like, Sandoval, stop. Like, look at the way he's behaving, like, right now. You know, it's almost like he does have some blinders on when it comes to James.
Right. One thing, though, that I did agree with Sandoval on was, you know, how he kind of questioned whether this was the right time for Jax and Brittany to get engaged when they did.
Yeah. No,
I think that's fair.
I think that's totally fair because I think that's another conversation that a lot of people have been having on social media. And what I've been seeing is that, you know, it's been an ongoing question the whole season. It came up at the reunion already, is like, has Jax actually changed? Is he a different man than he was before? And I think, yes, given what he's been through, obviously he's made some changes and he's started to really reflect on his decisions. But does that mean he is marrying Brittany at the right time? Is it the right time for something like that? And I think that's something to really consider.
Being concerned for your well-being and for Brittany's well-being is me being a friend. The feelings were coming from the right place and not something like, oh, well, she did this for me, so I guess I should do this for her. Like,
and yeah. Now it's already, you know, Brittany's obviously, we've talked about her being so caught up in the idea of having a wedding versus getting married, and she's very caught up in the having a wedding part of it right now. So I don't know.
But I do feel like they're all moving literally into different places in life.
True.
So I think it's so cute. They're all basically moving into the same neighborhood.
You're right. They were saying what's in like a triangle from each other.
Yeah.
Like they're all like 2 minutes apart.
So Ariana and Sandoval were the first. Mm-hmm. And now other Tom and Katie and Jax and Brittany and Kristen.
And Kristen too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a whole new world for the Vanderpump kids. They're no longer kids. I mean, they're buying homes in the Valley. That's like real adult life.
It's like Real Housewives of the Valley.
It truly is. Speaking of Ariana, though, I wanted to mention how they actually, at the beginning of this part of the reunion, they referenced the whole Lala situation and Tom kind of putting it out there that the two of them, you know,
hooked up
in the back seat of the car. And it was really funny to hear Lisa being like, am I the only one who hasn't hooked up with a woman? And Andy's like, no, you're not.
So everybody here is hooked up with a girl except me.
Oh, hold on. In case you
and Lisa, me.
It's not
and
Lisa.
But they also go into then Ariana and her kind of unlikely friendship with Stassi.
Yeah.
And Ariana mentions that she has Stassi muted on Instagram. And you know I love to find out about like who's following who and all
right.
of that. Those sort of relationships and that layer. So do you have friends that you yourself have muted?
100%.
Am I one of them?
No.
Okay, good.
I feel like you would know. I would notice, huh, you're not watching my stories.
Oh, 100%. I'd be like, you didn't look at my story yesterday, Megan. What happened?
sometimes I will mute people's posts because they don't understand that you can make a whole album.
The carousel feature, yes. Mm-hmm.
We don't need 10 single photos posted a day from the same event.
Right.
So that makes me mad.
Right.
I'm more so likely to mute a story, stories in general, if I feel like someone is just abusing it.
Well, when you see those like really little dots at the top, you know that that's like, it's, this is too much and I need to mute this.
And I get it because, look, when I'm out drinking with friends, I think that this is the most interesting thing to document right now.
Right.
But then when I watch other people sober, I'm like, this is not good content.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I have a few friends that I consider them dear friends. When I see them in person, I love being around them. I want to talk to them. I want to catch up, all of that good stuff. But people present themselves very differently on social media sometimes than they are in person. And that version of themselves and that personality is not one that I'm interested in. So there are a few people who are muted on my timeline.
Do I know any of them?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But possibly. You may have met them once or twice. But yeah, I mean, I just think it's so funny, you know, to see Ariana and Stassi have this friendship, but there's still like a stopping point for Ariana.
Right.
You know,
yes.
She's like not interested in seeing that part. This I wanted to mention as well, because I texted you about this when I watched the episode.
I know what's coming.
Max, Lisa Vanderpump's son, and Billy Lee hooked up.
I know. Wait, but I'm still not clear. Did they have sex?
It sounded like no at first, but then it sounded like yes.
Did I hear you had a little thing with Max?
We made out one night when we were drunk, and that was it.
I didn't know I had to tell my boss that I'm, like, sleeping with our son.
It seemed like Billy was sort of the one perpetuating, like, oh, yeah, we had sex. But it seemed like Max was kind of like, she's a pretty woman. We just made out. So.
Well, I guess because you wouldn't say to your mom, hey.
I had sex with the hostess at your restaurant. Yeah, I mean, I guess. But I loved that we learned that. And I kind of wanted that moment to be a little bit bigger. Like, I thought that was going to be a big, like, oh, my God, moment.
I think that it's more telling about Lisa and Ken's character that it wasn't a big moment.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
That was just, you know, another girl Max is hooked up with.
Right. Well, I hope Max considers, you know, a longer term thing with Billy, because I like Billy and I love Max. I also wanted to bring something up to you about, they kind of addressed Lala's anger and the way she acted out this whole season. And she kind of referenced that she just felt like she was in a place where she needed to school people. And I wanted to sort of break that down as into like why Lala feels like she is qualified to school other people and the way they live and their behavior.
Well, I think that's kind of the question on a lot of people's minds.
Right? Like, I don't think she really has any more life experience or insight to how people should behave than anyone else in that room. So why would she use that as an excuse?
Yeah. I just think she doesn't like Billy and they're not going to be friends.
Yeah. And I think that's okay.
That's okay.
And it sort of, we've talked about it when the whole situation happened with Girls Night and how Billy wasn't included. And I think still at the end of the day, Katie and Lala and everyone was sort of missing Billy Lee's point about being trans and why she felt left out and how the bigger sort of commentary that has. But I think, like you said, they don't get along. They don't like each other. They're never going to agree.
Oh, I see that you put in your notes Sandoval referencing James doing drugs.
Yes.
I've seen you have a beer, be totally chill, totally fun, mix it with other things, and then you're like the worst.
I'm smoking weed, I drink vodka.
More of uppers type
things.
No,
I don't.
Well, because he said uppers.
Uh-huh.
He said more so uppers, and James was like, no, I don't, so shut your fucking mouth.
Right, but I thought it was kind of interesting that Sandoval just sort of put that right out there.
Yeah. I love that Andy's sort of getting annoyed with Kristen, though, like visibly so.
Right. He's like, can't you just let James answer a question? And that's sort of been the story for Kristen all season, is that she, no matter what happens, won't let it go with James. And then the ending, when she attacked his family and he stormed off.
Ooh, Not cool. Not cool, Kristen.
I think that was, you know, one step too far. It's one thing to trash him, and it's kind of like the golden rule. Like, you know, children are off limits. Husbands are off limits. Like housewives rules. I feel like parents in that degree should be off limits. It's one thing if you're in a relationship still and you have like an issue with your mother-in-law. That's sort of a different level and a different caliber. But for Kristen to say that, ooh.
Ugh, not good.
Too much.
But I I keep saying to people, I'm like, I love James during this reunion. They're like, what? And I'm like, I know he's saying mean things, but he's just really funny. And when he was like, sorry, I'm not so sparky today, Andy.
Right, right.
You have to play the audio. I can't do a good impression.
You did it good. You did a good one when it was not very flattering.
Not very flattering.
Sorry, I'm not so sparky today.
I know. That's the thing is James is so frustrating and everyone's against him, but really he makes good television and I just do find him so grossly charming.
Yes.
You know, it's just like I don't ever want him to go away from my TV screen
or my life.
So I sat down and talked with Ariana about her kiss with Kristen when they were away in Mexico. And I had her rank who's a better kisser, Kristen, Tom Sandoval, anyone else she's made out with, Stassi. She also gave us an update on her new house and how all of her friends are now moving to the same neighborhood. So here's that interview. Guys, we're here with Ariana Maddox from Vanderpump Rules. Hey,
yeah.
Ariana.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little out of it. The time difference and, you know, all of that has me a little bit loopy.
Jet lag is real.
I had so many plans for today, and then I woke up and I was like, where am I? What day is it? What time is it?
You know. Who am I?
Yeah.
How did I get here?
I ask that question a lot for other reasons.
Right, of course. Well, so I wanted to ask you, because Andy Cohen referred to the reunion as a bloodbath.
Oh.
So how was it for you?
Well, I didn't bleed, so that's good. It was frustrating, I think. I get really frustrated when, you know, one person is asked a question and other people talk over that person. Mm-hmm. Regardless of whether I'm friends with that person or not, it really frustrates me because then I can't hear what they're trying to say. And I don't know, maybe I'm also just, I have a hard time interrupting people when they're talking. So I usually feel like I don't get any words in because everyone's just talking over each other. And it gets very frustrating.
Well, and there are so many more people, too, than a Housewives reunion. It's usually like 6 or 7 people. Yeah. But with you guys, it's so many more.
Yeah. And then some people come in for one part and then they're not, then they leave. And then we have another person come in for another part. Yeah. It's a lot.
Why do you think, in particular, tensions were so high for this reunion?
I feel like because, you know, we all hang out when we're not filming and stuff, but it's rare that you get everybody in a room together, especially since there's certain people that aren't friends, that don't get along. So then I think the show is airing, we're seeing what's being said or seeing what's happening, and then there's this period of time where tensions have really built up. So then once you get everybody in a room together, things explode. I think, like, by the end of it, it gets a little bit, you know, more civil slightly. I don't know.
Well, we heard that. I think Jax mentioned something about Andy had to, like, yell at, I think, Kristen, James, and Lala. He told them to come.
Okay, and Jax, because Jax was also doing a lot of, like, you know, him and James go back and forth a lot. Yeah. And Andy really had to kind of. I mean, I said something at one point. I was like, will you guys just shut up for 1 second?
What was it that Jax and James were really arguing about?
What are they ever arguing about?
Right.
It's kind of like,
good point.
It's like that meme that I've seen where Spider-Man's pointing at Spider-Man. Sometimes it feels like that.
Yeah.
And I do think Jax has come a long way, and he obviously has some years on James, and he has grown a lot. But there are some moments where I'm like, do you hear yourselves?
Yeah.
We've
talked about that a lot on the podcast because I think we've seen, you know, a lot of fans, too, feel like James is being punished perhaps more than, like, Jax or someone else may have for kind of doing the same things. And you must feel like you're kind of in the middle of that, being
a little
friends
bit
with James.
Yeah. It's I don't like being in the middle of things because I do see where both of them are coming from. I do think that James says things. And I do think that James deserves to feel the consequences of saying those things. And I think that Jax has done messed up. You know what I mean? So, you know, I can't sit here and say that one person shouldn't be punished for things that they've said or done. I think that everybody should be held accountable.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we are all assholes. I mean, that's kind of, you know, the show.
That's kind of the show.
So, myself included, you know, so I don't think that that's going to change.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just all going to be like, okay, James, now you, we're all going to be saints. And if you mess up, then you're out. You know, we can't, yeah. I feel like it's hypocritical for all, any one of us to do that. I think.
Another thing we've talked about a lot this season is the relationship between you and Kristen and the friendship you guys have developed.
Yes.
Did you ever imagine you'd be like making out with her in Mexico like 5 years ago?
No, probably not. I remember that moment too. I got out of the cage and I looked around and I thought, I want to make out. And like Tom and I had been making out all night, you know, and that's, you know, it's old hat at this point.
Right.
And I was like, that would be so funny. And obviously I was not in the right mind, but no, I did not think that, but we've been friends for like 2 years at this point.
Yeah. So who else did you kiss that night? It wasn't Stassi, just Kristen.
Well, Kristen, Stassi, and my boyfriend.
So can you rank of those people, including other ones that you may have made out with in the cast? Who's the best kisser? And don't say Tom.
Well, Tom has to be the obvious answer.
Right.
Okay.
Outside of Tom.
Outside. Cause I kiss him a lot.
Right.
So, outside of Tom, I don't know. Maybe. Well, Stassi, I feel like she was very not in a great mood. Maybe Kristen.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, you're asking me to remember something I don't really remember.
You did turn up that night. I mean, it was really actually so much fun to see you like that, because we don't really ever see you kind of let that loose.
Yeah.
And you had sort of planned it. I remember there's one shot that was my favorite from the episode, and you're like, I'm going to black out. Like, you were like, I am in it.
Anytime there's like a shot in a beer situation, I know I'm going to black out. Like, when I used to live in New York, there was a bar down the street from the apartment that I lived in, and they would do this like $7 shot in a beer special.
Yeah.
And anytime, I mean, that was it. I was like, if I have like two of these, I'm done.
A tequila and a Tecate. That's like my danger zone. Well, also, you just moved.
Yes.
So congratulations on the
house.
Thank you. How is it? How's it coming along?
I love it. We are trying. We don't have furniture still. We're being picky about what we want, but I think that in the long run we'll be happy. Right now it's like it is empty, but part of me feels like I should relish this moment where it is kind of empty. We are sleeping on our mattress, you know, like it feels kind of like a TBT of like a former life when I used to sleep on a mattress in a box spring, you know?
Well, it's fun to kind of rough it when you're also doing like the most adult thing you've done, which is buy a house, you know?
Yes.
Is Jax planning to move near where you guys are? We know he's been talking about like going up to the Valley area.
Yeah, I think he and Brittany, you know, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. Everyone's like coming. Everyone's following. One of our producers jokes and calls it chain migration.
Right. Well, were you hoping maybe a little bit, like, you guys have obviously, you do hang out and you're on the show together. Were you hoping that you could get like a little bit away and then they're all just following
you? Well, at least now we can't walk to each other's places.
Right.
We do probably want to get in a car.
Yeah.
So at least there's that.
Yeah. Have you been down to visit Sheena lately? Because that's her whole thing, is she's down in Marina Del Rey.
I know. What's crazy is I did go over to her place a couple weeks ago. And even though I am now in the Valley, it was way easier and shorter to get to her place.
Did you take the 405 down just straight, or did you sneak down like?
I think I took
Sepulveda or something. I used to live in LA, so I know secrets.
I think I did 170 to the 101 to 405 to the 90 to Lincoln.
Wow. Okay. That's exactly like the Californian skit on SNL. Like,
what's funny about that skit is it really is true. Like, we talk about these things all the time.
Yeah. I'm from the East Coast originally, and I, you know, lived in California, Los Angeles for about 5 years, and I came back calling it the freeway, which on the East Coast,
I know. We call it highways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm from Florida. It's
okay.
The highway. And
right.
There's no the in front of anything.
Yeah. But out there, it's like the 101, the 405, the 90.
Yeah.
It's the way it is. So can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Lala? And just, we've seen her kind of grieving this season, mm-hmm. and you've been a very good support system, I think, for her.
I think that the Lala that I think even going back to season 4, when people didn't want to be friends with her and I had started to get to know her a little bit, I think that even from the very beginning, Lala and I had a friendship that we would have kind of more serious conversations. And I think that, you know, Stassi would say, well, why aren't we friends? I'm like, we've literally never talked about anything. All we do is like go out in a group and get drunk and then like you'll say something annoying, you know, or whatever. And so it was hard for me to explain why I would be friends with one person and not be friends with another. But I think it goes back to having these more serious conversations, like really being like open with each other about like, I feel like about myself today. And, you know, I think that Lala's the kind of friend who she's always building her other friends up. And I think that you really do see her obviously struggling this past season. But I've been there, honestly. So it was hard for me to, you know, I'm not passing judgment on the way that she, you know, was lashing out at people. I just didn't want her to burn bridges that she wouldn't be able to rebuild.
Yeah.
Because I've seen people get fired at Surf for yelling and things like that in the past. And then that day that she had that performance was the anniversary of my dad's passing. So it was kind of like this, I don't know. Normally we stop filming earlier. So it's usually something that I deal with off camera. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there it was. And, you know, Lala's always been a very sweet and kind friend to me.
There was also a really beautiful moment between you and Tom. And he was kind of like expressed how at the time he just felt like he wanted to be there for you. And he didn't really know why or didn't really understand that feeling.
Yeah.
So that was like really touching.
Yeah, he was always, and I think I say in the episode that he was always such a good friend. And I think that, you know, I didn't see him as a romantic thing. And then, you know, I became single, he became single, and it was like, wow, that good friend quality is actually a quality, you know. When you're younger too, it's like you think like, oh, that person's hot, I want to date them. You don't think about, it takes a while as you grow to think like, oh, I want to date somebody who's a good friend.
Right, like what are the qualities I'm actually looking for? Yeah. I really loved Tom's like white suit, like the motorcycle entrance for Tom or whatever. Has he gone and made any other, I don't want to say irrational purchases because you should just buy a home. So like that's a rational one. Yeah. But has he cut back on the spending a little bit, or especially with the house?
Yeah, he's actually, I think Tom has always been smarter with money than I have. When I think about it and look at like, he's had credit cards, he's always really good about paying his bills and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm poor, I have to go to the doctor. Oh, I guess I'm just not going to pay that medical bill. Right. Like that, when we started going through our finances to get this house, it was like, okay, there's some things.
Right, like I need to come correct because Tom's got it under control.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
So like, you know, I was like, you can have this one. I do know he wants to build a bar in our house.
Of course he does.
But he's also figured out a way for that to be a money-making thing. So I feel like, you know, he's spending money, but he's smart about framing it in a way where it's like, okay, but this isn't just going to be something I spend money on and then it sits.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know?
Have you been to Tom Tom a lot? Like, how often do you go since it opened?
I go there. I mean, I like going there. Well, now I'm going to tell everyone my secret. I like going there during the week because it's not that busy.
Totally,
or it is busy, but it's not as busy. Like, weekends are obviously crazy anywhere. Sometimes I like to go in the back door.
Mm-hmm.
But I love going there. I go there maybe like once a week, twice a week.
I've been meaning to get there when I take a trip to LA. So I know that I'm supposed to get the Buffalo cauliflower, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that, and what cocktail would you recommend?
I love the matcha bucha.
Okay.
Yes. I love matcha.
Yeah.
And
it's a very LA cocktail. Yeah.
It is. And it's delicious. It's got like a little bit of citrus. I don't know. It's definitely my favorite.
Okay.
I feel like I'm getting like a little healthier too.
Right. Yeah.
Sort of.
It doesn't even count. It just balances out.
It's like zen.
Right. We have Brittany and Jax's wedding coming up. So Lala teased a little bit about the bachelorette party. So can you talk a little bit about what you think that's going to be like?
I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a little bit of Mexico in Miami there.
Right.
Because I don't know. I feel like for so long, I wasn't really friends with a lot of these a lot of the people. Not in a way where I trusted myself to just like get drunk around them.
Yeah.
So like for my friends who were off the show were like, that's just how you are all the time.
Right.
But like for them, they're like, this is new. Yeah. So like now I feel like we just have so much more fun together. So I have a feeling that this bachelorette party is going to be really fun. I don't know. We got to do something corny. You know, we got to have like matching shirts or something. It's a bachelorette party. Got to have one like corny night.
Yeah. A feather boa, like a tiara. Yeah.
Just
something
do it
like
one
that.
Time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Brittany deserves it.
Brittany deserves that corny stuff.
Yes. She's so
There's
sweet.
Like some of that stuff is like, whatever. It's fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ariana, for coming in.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very excited to see the reunion.
Oh, my God. Gird your loins.
So Southern Charm is back.
I am so excited.
Me too. It just felt so right to have it back on again.
I do feel bad for this show, though, because they have a lot to live up to from last season.
It's so true. I mean, they really brought it to a whole new level. So I don't know what's going to unfold this season. The Super Tease was so promising. But I think right off the bat, we're seeing so many interesting things that have happened since last season. So I really love right off the bat, we get Patricia and Catherine's friendship. I'm so happy that they're finally getting along.
I know.
Queen Catherine and Queen Patricia ruling the kingdom of Charleston, South Carolina.
Well, so if we're on the topic of Patricia and Catherine, mm-hmm. I just want to get to it.
Yeah.
Did she hook up with Whitney?
I feel like yes.
Me too.
It's like the moment that really convinced me was as they're sitting next to each other at dinner, Catherine kind of looked over at him for a second and was like, are you mad at me?
Are you mad at me?
What's that?
Are you mad at me?
No.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
And he was like, no, why would I be upset with you? Like, no. I was like, something happened there. There is some kind of chemistry. She's checking in because something happened between them.
Also, if you've already done it, chances of you doing it again
are very high.
Very high.
But what were the circumstances? I need to know how it happened, like why it happened, how long, how many times, what position. Like, I need to know a little bit more detail about that, Catherine. So I hope we unpack that a little bit more later on.
What did you think of Eliza? Okay, because we've met her last season.
Right.
She also has a super wealthy family that stuff is named after in Charleston. Mm-hmm. Interesting to get to know her a little more.
She was giving me very like 2003 Paris Hilton vibes
the
with
hair.
The extensions.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's that whole season one situation.
Yeah.
She's going to watch back footage and be like, ooh.
Right. I could have done better there. I mean, she definitely comes right in and makes a bit of a splash at the dinner, you know, in terms of her conversation with Catherine. It's kind of awkward. Catherine doesn't really want to talk to her, but she sort of pushes it and then approaches her after the meal's over. And it's just super awkward. And Shep is like, oh, my God, I want to die. Like, it's very uncomfortable to watch them talk to each other.
Well, it's very NeNe from Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, I'm not going to give you your moment.
Right. Yeah. Catherine's like, mm-mm.
And my coattails are about worn out, so good night.
Okay.
No, this is your first season, okay? You don't get to talk to me one-on-one yet. And I have to say, Catherine looked amazing in that leopard dress. She really, like, in these last couple seasons, has stepped up her game.
Yeah. Okay, the other thing I wanted to talk about, because I'm just so happy that they showed it, is the Austin and Madison video that girl he had at We don't know exactly.
He had a something
he
with.
Had a something with. She was secretly recording.
I know. It looked like it was on a tripod. It was staying so still. I was like, what is she doing? And how does no one notice she's doing this?
And what's interesting is I had seen that video surface on mm-hmm. the interwebs, but I felt like, no one's making a bigger deal out of this. Like, it wasn't. I
You're
feel
right.
like the big web publications were posting it. It was like these little nothing blogs.
Yeah, it didn't get as much press as I think you would expect, because any of that kind of footage that's like raw and front, like that's uncommon to have access to something like that.
This is that is it.
That is it. You are an insane person.
But you talked to Austin about that, didn't you?
Yes, and you guys are going to hear that interview next week. Ooh. He doesn't hold back, so.
Well, at least he and Madison have been able to move forward from that, and it was interesting that we learned after that incident, which it seemed like Austin was, like, trying to deny it, but it was like, she was like, well, this girl's panties are next to your bed. So, like, I'm sorry, but you can't deny this.
There's a half-naked girl in your right. home. Case closed. Right.
And she's like, and then we learn that Madison sort of sought some revenge on Austin and ended up cheating on him as well.
Maybe.
Allegedly. So it's sort of like they even the playing field again, and it seems like they're in a good place at this point. And we also learn that she has a connection to Patricia. She does her hair, so she's already sort of a mixed up in the group already.
Austin definitely has a type, right?
Yeah.
People who do hair.
Yeah. And people who look kind of like Jessica Simpson? A little bit.
Chelsea does not.
No, Chelsea does not. You're right. Madison does. Madison does. That's what she gave me. She's giving me those vibes. Well, speaking of significant others, too, I need to talk about Matul because he is a babe.
Naomi's new love.
Yes.
He's beautiful.
And they led right in with, like, we're going to do a gym scene with him. We're going to show you how strong he is, what a cute butt he has. I was like, oh, girl, get it.
I know, because he's not just smart, not just a hard worker. He has a rockin' bod.
Yeah, and he's pushing her. He's, like, adding more weights to her thing. Like, oh, they're going to look great together. Oh, my God, I love him. That is my type. Sorry, Danny. And I do have to say that I'm really proud of Craig to see how much he's sort of pulled his life together since last season. Just when Cameron goes over and checks out his new bachelor pad and it's, like, well decorated. He's got himself a dog named Bethany.
I like how that's important for you. That not only does he have a dog, but his dog named Bethany.
Bethany.
Like,
I mean,
that's an adult choice.
And she's precious, and she runs out, and he picks her up, and he carries her in. It's like, I really like that we're seeing some evolution with Craig. You know, a lot of guys, they got this Peter Pan syndrome, and they don't want to grow up, but it seems like he's taking the necessary steps to get his life together.
Yes.
A plus to you, Craig.
So Real Housewives of Potomac.
Candace's wedding.
Giselle gets stood up.
About an hour ago, Sherman informed me that he will not be going to the wedding with me.
You lie.
I mean, an hour before the wedding is a real dick move.
So dick. And nope. Also, like, what's your argument for it?
Well, he seemed to blame it on the whole Monique situation. Like, he didn't want to see those people. I don't think he got as specific as Monique, but that seemed to be what was implied. And I think Giselle even mentioned it when she called Robin on the phone, you know, being like, I don't even want to go now. You know, he doesn't want to see Monique. And I think Robin was sort of like, come on, that's not the point. Like, the point is to be there to accompany Giselle to the wedding. Like, you said you would do it. It's about following through with your commitment and supporting Giselle in that moment. But he backed out.
Do you know how many weddings I've gone to with Aaron, with people there that I did not like?
Right.
You just suck it up and do it.
Yeah.
You know?
It seems like he doesn't want the camera time. He doesn't want the life and all of that. But if he really cared about Giselle the way that she seems to care about him and the progress it seems like they've made, he should be able to just accompany her to the wedding. But he bails. And I think that says a lot about his character. And at this point, we're done. We're done with Sherman.
What did you think of the wedding?
I thought the wedding was really beautiful. I mean, we've seen so much build up to this. You know, Candace has kind of been talking about it for so long, and it's been such a struggle with her mom to get the things that she wants. And I think it ended up being a really gorgeous wedding. And, you know, like, Candace seemed so thrilled by the end of it.
But, like, I can't get over how in your interview with Giselle last week, how she said that Candace's mom was going around the reception telling everyone how much she paid for the wedding.
I believe it. I believe it so much. I mean,
but, like, that is the tackiest thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, her mom is extremely shady. Like, the way she has just treated Candace through the whole process, the way she was like, when Candace tried on her dress before the wedding even happened, and she was like, well, is that how long you want the train? And it's like, well, yes. I mean, that's what she chose, you know, just. And then in the room, like, before the wedding, Candace didn't want her to come in. it's sort of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Candace seems so sweet and her mom just seems not as sweet. So I just wonder where Candace gets that characteristic from.
More importantly, what did you think of Chris's wedding vows?
Oh my God.
Something about you I need. This is how I feel. For you, I will constantly be ready, willing, able. In the still of the night, I want to know, can you stay in the rain?
Well, it's funny because I, you know, spoke to Giselle about it, and this was not in the interview. This was after the interview last week. And she just was not thrilled about it. And you guys will hear what Karen thinks about it later on in her interview. I thought it was a little bit of a cop-out. Like, if you're just going to do titles of songs and sort of string them together into sort of sentences, it doesn't work. I think if he had included his own words and then added the titles
in. I didn't like it. But I thought it was funny that Giselle straight up accused him of appropriation in her interview.
I mean, it's sort of like, yeah, you know, you're marrying a black girl. It's like this, the whole conversation last season about the color of his dick. Like, it's all just sort of like strange a little bit. And I feel like Candace, you know, wrote some really beautiful vows, and then his was a little bit of a cop out. I think there was a better opportunity there, but Candace seemed charmed by it. What did you think about Candace performing at her own wedding?
I feel like that's a thing brides do.
An acceptable thing that brides do. She looked fantastic. Yeah. I loved the second wedding look. Like, I'm glad she ended up pulling that off. I thought that dress was amazing. But I'm a little bit like, hey, you're performing an original song? Like, oh.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the more offensive part. Not that she was singing, but the original song.
Yeah.
Like, I also don't want you to perform your own poetry.
Right. Yeah, no,
you know,
please.
Like,
yeah.
You don't. Or if we're going to Portia having a baby, read Dennis doing stand-up comedy at the baby shower. Like, no.
We don't need the entertainment.
But I think you and I are sort of similar in that we get really icked out by people's
talents.
No. It's like earnestness or vulnerability.
Yeah.
Like,
in such a public forum in maybe a situation that it's like not totally appropriate.
Right.
But whatever, she looked great. And great job with the song, I guess.
If you had to perform a talent at your own wedding, what would it be?
Oh my God, I don't have any talents. I feel like...
A dramatic monologue?
Maybe, yeah, like a really...
And now I'll be performing a scene from...
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. The scene between like Lisa and Kyle. I've watched it so many times that I probably could recite it and play both parts, but... What would you do?
An erotic dance?
I guess that is a part of some weddings, you know, with the whole like garter thing where it's like da 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 da. Yeah, you could do that. Did you catch the awkward moment with Michael Darby where he was talking, I think, to Juan about seeing Ray?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, we saw each other, we said hi, whatever. Like, he touched my arm. Like, it seemed like, oh, we're, you know, doing okay. And then he said, I almost grabbed his butt.
And he kind of touched me as he walked by. That's a good start, right?
That's a good start.
I was going to grab his butt, but I didn't. I was just a little okay, I acknowledge you there.
That's a good start.
It was a brief moment, and I feel like they kept that in just as a little, like...
Foreshadowing.
This is what's coming. Yeah, absolutely. And as soon as it happened, I was like, oh, God, here we go. It's coming, any episode now. But I was just was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
This is going to be quite a ride. Ugh. The last thing I wanted to talk to you about with the wedding was Monique approaches Giselle and actually apologizes to her. And as Giselle said, Monique's husband kind of pressured her to do it. But I think it was something that was needed to happen for them to move forward.
Yeah.
Because then at the end of the wedding, sort of at the reception, Giselle goes over to Monique and is like, we're good. Thank you for the apology. We're moving forward.
Yeah. I agree.
But she never really got the chance to apologize to Sherman. But at this point, Giselle's like, I don't care.
I don't care. I don't care. He's a terrible person for ditching Giselle. Yeah. He doesn't deserve anything.
Right. Giselle was like, yo, you could tell me. You could talk to me about my apology, but you could talk to him. You don't have to talk to him. I was like, okay, we know where Giselle stands on that one. I also spoke with the grand dame Karen Huger, and she recaps her relationship with Giselle and sort of where they stand now, and gives us an exclusive on how Matt came into her life. She also discussed Candace's wedding and the advice she gave her regarding Dorothy's opinion on having Candace's half-brother at the wedding. So here's that interview. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with the grand dame of Potomac. Hi. Hello, Karen Huger.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
I wanted to start off by asking you about your relationship with Giselle. It starts off this season in kind of a difficult place after, you know, season three. Where do you think you guys went wrong?
You know, I often say everyone asks me that. Giselle and I were friends a long time ago. I don't know what I'd call her now, to be honest with you. I never went wrong. I've always been a supportive friend. Giselle is the one that, you know, is constantly attacking, constantly, you know, twisting my truth. And thank God for season four. You know, poor thing, I wasn't living in Great Falls, and Giselle's ass is sitting in my living room. What can I say? In Great Falls. Hello, Jesus. So I don't know what her goals are when she does lie on me and twist my truth. I never done that to her. But I can quite honestly say, I'm okay with where we are. I love seeing her for the liar and non-friend she is.
So in the interview we had with her, she mentioned that she doesn't think you understand her jokes. Do you think that has anything to do with it?
Absolutely not. Now, come on, the queen of one-liners. Are you joking? I got a thick skin. The thing is, Giselle doesn't know what a joke is. I want her to read Webster. Joke is a joke. It's laughable. It's not, you know, something to damage someone's character or their livelihood. Giselle goes too far. And I can laugh with the best of them. I can give it and I can take it. Giselle is just, you know, not a friend. Truly hasn't been. And I had to accept that. That was painful for me because I really was friends with her before the show. And before this platform. I mean, we did cookie bakes and Jack and Jill. We hung out. We were good to go. But consistently, you know, I gave her 3 years to show me a change, to go back to the Giselle I knew. It just doesn't exist. Not just season four, you know, recently her Wendy Williams comments were inappropriate and inaccurate, but that is what Giselle is famous for. So I now accept her as that, but I'm not worried about Giselle. Trust, I'm in a great place, and the truth always rises to the top, and I win. So next.
Did you eat the cookies she brought you?
No. I did taste them, though, because the children made the cookies.
Right.
And everybody knows. Some people call me Mama Karen. I love a good kid, and she's raised beautiful children, and that I can't take from her. She's just a lousy excuse for a friend.
Did Matt eat the cookies?
Matt bit it. Stay tuned.
Can you explain a little bit more about Matt and his role in your life? I think a lot of people are just kind of confused,
right,
by that relationship.
It shouldn't be. It really shouldn't be. I'm glad you guys are giving us that opportunity to talk about our relationship. And it actually started off, I met Matt when he was about 17 or 18 in Potomac. He and my son are the same age. Brandon's 31, Matt's 31. Matt was going through some difficult times at that time, and I actually gave him some motherly advice. And he took it. And he continued to go to college. He didn't know whether he wanted to go to college or not. And I said, you're going to college. And from that, I gained his respect, as I did with many children in Potomac. Again, I'm past president of Jack and Jill of America in Potomac. I just love it that I stayed on long enough for my truth to come out, okay? but Matt, from that, went to school, and we maintained our friendship, our relationship. He's like family. But then to see this young man do such dynamic things with his career, it was fantastic. Matt was Matt way before I hit Real Housewives of Potomac. And when I did, it made sense for us to work together. And so from that family loving relationship, you know, nurturing relationship, Matt and I now work together, and we're pretty good.
So it was almost like a mentorship that became a friendship.
You know, he has great mentors in his life. Mm-hmm. He has a fantastic family. I just became that other mother friend, you know?
Yeah.
And lots of children need that at that time at 17, 18. Can you imagine? Do you remember being confused and challenged? And that's just God having his hands in things. And nothing in my life happens by mistake. I'll tell you that. So that seed being planted when he was 17, and now that we work together and bring such great gifts to Bravo's platform, it was meant to be. It was meant to be, and we work well together. And I love Matt. Matt is family, and we do work together. And we don't owe anybody any explanation. Just watch it. It speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about Ray. How's Ray doing?
Ray's my boo-boo. What can I say? Ray is good. Ray misses me. I'm so super busy, you know, with the fragrance launching in Bloomingdale's. I'm working constantly. But the marriage is good. We're finding out. We're hilarious right now, empty nesters. Stay tuned. I think you'll enjoy it because he gets so real with me. He even called me the farm girl this season. Stay tuned for that one. I was like, Ray, really? He said he stole me away from the farm. I'm like, you know, when your husband, and I can't wait to live to be that age, you know, 73, they say, you have no filter. They don't. I'm like, baby, what are you doing? He says, honey, look, I'm having fun. And it's been good for our marriage. And we are solid as a rock. He misses me right now.
Of course. After watching or being at Candace's wedding, did you get any ideas for doing like a vow renewal? Would you guys ever consider that?
You know, I don't like jinxing things. Hey, let's be real. Some people do that and then the divorce is right after that. You know what? I will be the first to say marriage is not easy. Why mess with what's working? If you see me do a renewal, it'll be something spiritual. Okay. It won't be, you know, what they do. I mean, you know, and only if Ray wants it. But Ray says I'm such a pistol, he could only do it once.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, so I got to have a groom again. Who wants to do that again, though? No, I don't see.
Look, Candace might.
You know, that I love Candace. And she may, 20 years down the road, she may do that. But for me, you know, I have the pictures. Mm-hmm. I have the ring. I have the man 23 years later. And I don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah.
Mm-mm, I may chew bubble gum on the 25th and, you know, pop his gum or something. But that's about it. I'd say a prayer.
I wanted to ask you about Candace and sort of, we see her in the first episode standing up to her mother, you wow. know, bringing her brother to the wedding and all right. of that. So she kind of came to you, I think, for she a little did. Bit of advice. So can you talk a little bit about her relationship with her mom and your perspective?
You know, I am friends with Candace first. And Candace, you know, is a woman becoming the woman. And my desire as a friend of a grown woman is to say to her, as a mother of a grown daughter, Raven's 21 now, we're always going to love you. You know, we're your mom. Yes, we're going to have a moment, you know, when we don't get our way, but don't be afraid. And Raven certainly, I can just bring Raven into it. Raven certainly is not afraid of me, and I love it. I love it. You know, and at some point, they, as Candace's challenge was, they're not our child. They're the young woman we raised. And so she was having challenges with confronting her mother or just conversing with her mother. And I encouraged her, talk to your mother. What's going to happen? What's the worst going to happen?
Right.
You know, Dorothy's going to love you. You know, Dorothy's a great mom. Her mom's a great mom. We are both strong women, Dorothy and I. But certainly, I believe that Dorothy respects Candace much more now for having had that conversation. It was Candace's day.
Yeah.
And I tell you what it taught me. When it's Raven's Day? No way. I'm just going to say, okay. What do you want, baby?
You know, whatever you want.
And whatever you want, honey. And I just want to be a part of it. And I don't want it to be a struggle. I was very sad to see her in pain that yeah. way. And the advice I gave her was truly from that of a mother of a grown woman who's had real grown conversations with her daughter now. And no, I don't like what I hear all the time. But does it stop my love for Raven? No, it gains respect for the woman I'm raising.
Mm-hmm. That's great. We also saw Giselle at the wedding throw a little bit of shade at Chris's vows for being lyrics. Mm-hmm. What did you think?
Giselle, once again, why? Why do you do the things you do, Giselle, at the most inappropriate times? This is a sacred vow. But then let's talk about Giselle for a second. No, let's not.
Well, let's talk about Chris's vows. What did you think of them?
They were Chris's vows. Yeah. Everyone's vows are what they are. When I think... It was from his heart to his woman. And that's them. It got her down the aisle and got the ring on the finger. Giselle, where's your ring? And where's the vows? And where? I'm just saying, where's Gail? I'm just saying. How can you criticize something that you've not done successfully yourself?
Right. Well, that's fair. What did you think about Sherman bailing on Giselle before the wedding?
Sherman bailed on Giselle long before the wedding. You know, I do live, my ears are to the street of Potomac, and, you know, people call me every time they see, you know, some sightings of people, and you know, he was spotted right after the reunion, you know, in a wonderful store called Saks, shopping with a gorgeous woman for some Nest. You know what Nest is, right? And it wasn't Giselle. So I think Giselle was pretty much in denial. Sherman had left her long before the wedding, so that didn't surprise me.
Giselle does come up to you at the reception after, I think, a couple drinks and sort of tries to make peace again.
Don't do it lit.
Right. So it seems like you were not as receptive to that as she was probably hoping.
With the horrible things Giselle has done and said over the last 3 years, I deserve a lucid conversation, not a lit conversation, because it's not authentic. It's not genuine. And while I do appreciate the effort, it fell on dead ears because it was the wrong place and under the wrong conditions. But hopefully she'll have that opportunity.
You also sat very close to Ashley and Michael at the wedding.
I did.
You speak to them at all at the reception?
I acknowledged them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's another, relationship that's growing this season. And I see Ashley growing a lot, trying to grow. And for me, I've always now separated Ashley from Michael. That's the only way Ashley and I will have an authentic relationship. I had to remove Michael from the equation, and I do see effort more than I see in Giselle. Genuine effort from Ashley to become a better human being. Mm-hmm. While she's done some horrible things, and I will handle that, and said some horrible things, I see her making the effort, which is shocking to me because I would have expected it from Giselle because we have history. Right. Long, long time ago. Yeah. I don't know this Giselle today. Go ahead.
So in an interview with Good Morning Washington, you said a lot of the lies from the past will be revealed. Can you give us a hint about what that means?
Well, it's not a hint. It's a fact. You said I didn't live in Great Falls. Every last woman sits in that house this season. So where the hell did I live? Okay. And, I am who I am. I am authentic. While I didn't understand the attack on that level. But everyone needs to know, and I have since lost my parents, and everyone now knows that they lied about that, and they poked fun at that. Totally inappropriate. But I moved there because my parents were ailing, and they were progressively getting sicker, and they've since passed. That's the only reason I'm in Great Falls. And to say that I'd never lived there was very painful for me. But then again, I couldn't get hung up in that. That's their lies. They have to pay for that. People see them as ball... People see them as, I can't get it out. What do you call it? Bold-faced liars? I mean, just lying, malicious lies. And where did that get you? Nowhere. Because I'm still winning, obviously. I mean, I live where I live. Giselle sat there. Oh, my God. When Giselle sat there, I should have taken a picture and she filmed there. I have white sofas in that house. Okay. And she came in orange as the day, spray painted. And she sat on my leather white sofa. And when her ass got up, it was orange thighs on my couch. It took me a week to get it out. I was like, what the hell just happened? But that's Jizzy. That's my story. Every girl came to the house except, and I think this is going to be good for Ashley and I to be genuine. I've not been to Ashley's home. You'll see natural growth if that ever happens. And nor she's been to my old house. But I've not, and she's not come to this one because we weren't at that place. But again, I can acknowledge the effort for personal growth and trying to become a better human being.
Yeah. We see some old familiar faces coming back this season.
You know what? Katie Ross. I always liked Katie. Someone asked me in an interview recently, they were like, well, you and Katie were strained on the couch the first year. No, we weren't. Katie came, and because someone's in her ear who's no longer on the show, hello, and Katie said, some things about me, the first reunion, I'm looking at Katie, and if you play the tape back, and please do, I look at Katie and I go, do you want to do this? And she says, no, because I'm good to Katie. I was good to Katie before the show. I'm good to Katie during the show. I am an authentic friend. I'm a good person. You'll see devils in the show, but it ain't me. But I will serve you if I have to, but it's not my agenda. Katie's going through a lot, and I own this. I am the mature one. I will be a mother to whoever needs it if they want it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So Katie, as I always describe her, is a brilliant storm, a brilliant, quiet storm. But right now her challenges are powerful. And I love her and I wish the best for her. But Katie's good TV, okay? Oh, yeah. Let's just be real. Katie is great TV.
So what else do we have to look forward to this season? Like, give us just a little one line about what this season's going to be like.
One line. How can you talk about the Real Housewives of Potomac? How can I do one line? I can make it about me. No, that would
please
be Giselle.
Do.
Let me. I'd say, God, it's so hard. because it was a long journey for me getting here, you know, just to be vindicated. And I don't care what they call it. I don't care what any cast member call it. This is vindication for Karen Huger this season, and I own it. So also, you see a lot of catfights, love, truth, forgiveness, and you see winning. You see, I win. Totally win. Hands down. Don't lie on me. The truth will come out. I'm not going to sit there and fight with you the whole 4 years. I don't have to. I just plant my seeds along the way, and then the truth comes out. So we're good.
There we go. All right. Well, thank you so much, Karen. We're very excited about the new season.
Should we move on to Summer House?
Yes, please.
I was so, I mean, I shouldn't say this, but it's true. I was very bummed out by the anticlimactic ending to this whole, did Kyle cheat or didn't he?
Right.
Because no, apparently he didn't.
It didn't seem like there was a proper resolution there. I mean, Amanda seemed to just sort of accept the effort that Kyle put in to find out that information by DMing someone who says, no, we've never met. And she was like, okay. You know, she saw the DMs and was like, we're moving on.
I DM'd her. Hey, could you help settle something for me? Have we met?
And she said, No, we haven't.
But it just felt a little incomplete.
Right.
I don't know.
The other big topic that I know you wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Jordan.
I can't get it up.
So I have prepared a series of evidence here.
Okay, because the thing is, Jordan's been giving all of these sort of ridiculous stories about how all the girls he's hooking up with, no one's buying it. Mm-hmm. And then they're really trying to get down to the nitty gritty of what's happening. And Jordan says, well, here's the thing. I haven't really been honest with you guys. I can't get it up.
Right. So I have prepared a lot of evidence here. The first piece of evidence is very early on in the season, he made up a story about losing his virginity. Or at least he just copied a story from like the 40-year-old virgin where like he kicked someone in the head and everyone sort of was like, that seems weird. And I think that was one of the first red flags we had that like maybe he tells stories.
Right.
The second piece of evidence, and I think this is your favorite.
I don't know what you're going to say, but okay.
Well, once I say it, you'll understand. He took a second peek at Kyle when he was peeing.
Yes.
How do you pee in this thing?
From my dick.
Just from the trunk?
Yeah, this is... All
right. Right?
When he was in that costume, Kyle was in a costume. It was at the party.
So I already talked to Kyle and Amanda, and yeah. I specifically asked about them. It was the first question. I was like, so that moment where Jordan takes a second peek at your dick.
And he was like, yeah, weird. I mean, I wish we could show the clip for you guys, but it was basically like, he's like, well, how do you pee in that costume? And Kyle's like, well, you just like, you got to figure it out. And he like steps back again and looks and then kind of like raises his eyebrows and walks out. And Kyle's like, what the fuck?
But also looks directly into the camera, licks his lips.
Yeah, that's right. Third piece of evidence is that he has referenced a threesome and like cuddling with Carl once or twice on the show.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like the threesome thing was kind of a throwaway joke, I think, that happened a few episodes ago. But then there was sort of a reference just recently about him like cuddling with Carl, which like whatever, bros cuddle. I mean, everyone could use a cuddle. Okay, four, we know that he's very religious and he's mentioned that he faces a lot of pressure from his family to sort of settle down, right? Number five is the erectile dysfunction when he's hooking up with girls.
Mm.
That's a sign of something.
Because you think it's not medical, it's...
Well, he says that he can like jerk off and that's fine. So I think it's the presence of a female, two different females, he said, which he said was at the same time as well, which could be another little stretch of the truth there. And the sixth piece of evidence is basically part of the fifth. He talks about erectile dysfunction with a group of girls. Like he goes to like his girlfriends first, as opposed to going to like one of the guys who like maybe has experienced this at some point in his life. So that was...
Okay, so just to play devil's advocate, because, well, first of all, I think, you know, when someone says that they're straight,
mm-hmm.
you know, we need to take their word for it.
Right, yeah.
Okay, but the second thing is, it's embarrassing to say, I can't get it up,
yeah,
and I'm in my 20s.
Yeah.
So that's my only argument, is like, why would, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I don't know. It could be. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's very layered. I think the whole situation is very complicated. And I think throughout the rest of the season, we're going to see more of that unfold, because I think Hannah and sort of Paige have these inclinations that something's going on. But I think he has shown us that he's a very complex and layered individual. Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
Texicanas.
Ah.
I love this show.
Yeah, it's really fun.
It's so good.
I think I especially like that they are teaching me more slang Spanish words, because yeah. I haven't, you know, I took Spanish in high school, college, whatever, and haven't really kept up with it. I know the basics and I can get by, but I don't know any of the slang words that I want to know. So now I do.
Yeah,
I learned butthole.
I just also like the way they're unfolding the show. Like, it's someone talking about something that's already happened, mm-hmm. and kind of the way they're introducing each person. I'm all in for this show.
Plus, it's Texas.
Yeah.
Your homeland.
Exactly. what is your rose?
My rose, for old time's sake, is from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and it's Erica's performance that we finally got to see.
Even though
the sound got messed up and, you know, there were some, you know, issues that happened. But, you know, I started on the podcast doing the most Erica Jane moment of the week, and oftentimes it had something to do with her performance or something related to her sort of Erica Jane character. So I was just glad we got that moment and the girls were there to support, and Rinna whipped out that long pony.
I also, it's two moments happened during the performance that made me feel like I never want to be on Erica's bad side. The first was she's prepping to walk out and fans are like, "Hey, Erica, hi." And someone, you know, hurriedly closes the curtain. She's like, "I don't want that happening again."
Right, right.
And then the second is when the sound goes off, the look on her face, and she was like, "You can't hear the fucking sound." It was just like, ah!
Yeah, I mean, obviously she's a diva. It reminded me of a video that came out a couple years ago where Beyonce, something happened during a live Beyonce performance where like the sound got messed up or whatever, and then she's singing and she goes, "Someone's getting fired." Oh. And you're just like, oh God, like, you know that that person knows in that moment, like, I am losing my job. So it felt like a sort of diva moment. What was your thorn?
Well, also on the topic of music, finding out that Teddy and Edwin had sex to Miley Cyrus's Party in the USA.
We put on music and I'm like, let's really go at it. He lasted one song.
Okay, I want to know, what is the song?
It was Party in the USA.
No.
And also that Teddy admitted to the other Bev Hills ladies he only lasted through one song.
I mean, that song's like 2 minutes and 30 seconds, you know? Like, that's not long.
That's not long. Like, you shouldn't be telling people that.
No, and like, who made that playlist? Like, was it just like random shuffle that they put on Spotify, or was that a sex playlist?
No.
I don't even know how you could get into it as soon as you hear the opening line.
Speaking of ED,
line.
I feel like that song would
Party
induce
in the USA.
Serious erectile
would
dysfunction.
Would definitely do it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that was awkward.
What was your thorn?
My thorn was from Portia's Baby Special Part 3, and it was this rift between Mama Gina and Miss Diane. And obviously, we've known Miss Diane for way longer than we've known Mama Gina. So I am like Team Diane all the way. Mama Gina's sort of attitude coming into this with like, I understand wanting to protect her son and talking about the prenup and everything, but, you know, Portia and Dennis kept being like, it's not the right time for that. Like, we need to worry about this baby. Like, the marriage is to come. Like, I just didn't like the way Mama Gina approached the whole thing and then how upset Miss Diane got when they finally confronted each other. But it worked out in the end, so everyone's happy.
Also, we got to see Pilar.
Oh my God. She's so beautiful.
And it was her birthday because she was born. And it's going to be your birthday on Sunday.
That's true. May 19th, you guys.
Everyone go wish Eric a happy birthday.
I did want to ask about baby Pilar. Portia said in her interview that she thinks she looks more like Dennis. Do you think so, too?
Yes.
The lips, right?
It's something.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the lips, but I definitely got Dennis vibes.
Oh, welcome to the world, baby Pilar.
And we've already referenced it a couple of times, but Austin Kroll gives an amazing interview about Southern Charm next week, so make sure you're subscribed. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss.